In our last study of the millennial reign of Christ, we called your attention to the favorable beginning, how that man would have the most favorable conditions of any time in his human existence on earth. Also, we mentioned the kingdom foretold, and we quoted for you many prophets of the Old Testament and a number of passages in the New Testament, proving that both testaments predict the second coming of Christ and the visible reign of Christ on earth for 1,000 years, and yes, we might say even forever and ever and ever. We now come to the question, when will Christ's kingdom be set up? There are several scriptures in the Bible that gives us the answer to this question. First, at the return of the King from glory, that in other words, at the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, visibly, with all the armies of heaven. In Matthew 25, 31 to 46, we have a picture of what will take place after Christ comes to the earth, which is pictured in Matthew 24. If you read both chapters in Matthew, Matthew 24 and 25 together, for after all, it is one prophecy in those two chapters. You will find in the 24th chapter signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth, showing us what we are to expect on earth that will indicate the nearness of his return. In verse 29 of the 24th chapter, we read, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other. But in the 25th chapter, verses 31 to 46, we have a picture of the judgment of the nations at the second coming of Christ, immediately following his coming to the earth. We read, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. See, that plainly answers the question of when Christ's kingdom will be set up. Matthew 24, 29 says, immediately after the tribulation. Matthew 25, 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He shall say to the sheep on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he gives the reasons why they were to come into the kingdom. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you blessed me in so many ways, and so you come enjoy the kingdom of the Lord. Then he said to those on his left hand, which are called the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. And they said, when saw we thee naked and hungry, and we refused to clothe you and feed you? He added, inasmuch as you have not done it unto the least of these my brethren, referring to his Jewish brethren, ye have not done it unto me. These shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. In the ninth chapter of Isaiah, verses 6 and 7, we read, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, but upon the throne of his father David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This pictures the eternal reign of Christ on earth, and it pictures the kingdom as being set up when God sends Christ back as the governor, as the ruler, as the prince of peace. In the second chapter of the book of Daniel, verses 44 and 45, we read of another indication of the time of the establishment of his kingdom. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It shall not be left to other peoples, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now then, what is meant by in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom? Well, it's referring to the 10 kingdoms that will be formed inside of the Roman Empire in the very last days, just before the return of Christ in glory. Daniel 7 pictures the revision of the Roman Empire, not a revival of it, but a revision of it. How that out of the old Roman Empire would come 10 kings. It reads like this: out of this kingdom, talking of the fourth kingdom, which was the Roman Empire of that chapter. That's in verse 24 of the seventh chapter. Out of this kingdom, out of the Roman Empire, shall come 10 kings. Naturally, there will be 10 kingdoms if there are 10 kings. And another shall rise after them, referring to the Antichrist, coming after the 10 kingdoms. So not only is the God of heaven going to set up a kingdom in the days of these kings, but the Antichrist is going to arise in the days of those kings. He is coming first among the 10 kings and overthrows 3 of them. The other 6 will submit to him without a struggle. Then after the reign of the Antichrist for 3.5 years, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Both the kingdom of the Antichrist and the kingdom of the God of heaven will be set up in the days of these kings. Read along with this 7th chapter of Daniel, the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 8 to 17, where we have the explanation of the beast of Revelation to be the 8th kingdom, and the 10 horns on the beast to be 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour period with the beast. These shall hate the whore, and shall burn her flesh with fire, and shall make her desolate and naked, for God hath put it in their hearts to agree and give their kingdom to the beast till the words of God be fulfilled. Then we have other verses, 13th chapter of Revelation, for example, picturing a beast with the 7 heads and the 10 horns. So all these scriptures should be studied together. They all predict the time in the near future, during which time 10 kingdoms will be formed out of the old Roman Empire territory. And in the days of those 10 kingdoms, and in the days of those 10 kings that will rule those 10 kingdoms, in their lifetime, we read, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and shall not be left to other peoples, but that the kingdom of the God of heaven would break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and would stand forever. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, verses 13 and 14, we have the fact that Christ came with the clouds of heaven, and that refers to the same as in Matthew 24, where we read of Christ coming with the clouds of heaven, in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So here we read that I saw one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, all nations, all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's what Zechariah 14 refers to, where he said, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity. Then, you see, when Jerusalem is half taken into captivity, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, half of it toward the east, and half of it toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. Ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, yea, ye shall flee, shall fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. The Lord my God cometh and all the saints with thee. So that pictures the second coming of Christ with the saints. And during the time, right at the time, Jerusalem is surrounded by the armies of the Gentiles under Antichrist, and half of the city has already been taken. 1 Thessalonians 1:7, rather 2 Thessalonians 1:7 it is. We have a picture of the second coming of Christ. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and by the glory of his power. There you have the fact that Christ is coming with all the angels of heaven. Jude 14 speaks of it this way. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly, to convince all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Revelation 17:14 pictures the 10 kingdoms we referred to a few moments ago as fighting against Jesus Christ at his second advent, proving that the 10 kings will then be alive, and further confirming the fact not only of Revelation 17, but Daniel 2, where we read, In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. We read in Revelation 17:14 that these shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and they that are with him are the called, chosen, and faithful. Thus, the kingdom will be set up at the return of Jesus Christ from glory with the armies and angels of heaven to set up a kingdom in the world. Now then, another proof as to when the kingdom will be set up. It will be after the church is raptured. 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 58 tells of the time when the dead and living in Christ will rise to meet the Lord in the air, and this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption. And he stated, when that is fulfilled, and when that has come to pass, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17 speaks of it at the same time, the same way, where we read, The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now these scriptures speak of the rapture of the church, the time when all true believers will be taken out of the world to meet the Lord in the air. Now what happens when they meet him in the air? Do they stay in the air for several years and then come on down to the earth, or do they go back to heaven? It is very clearly revealed that they go back to heaven with Christ and stay in heaven during the tribulation. And then at the end of the tribulation, when Christ comes, the saints will come back with him. That's what has already been stated in these scriptures that we have given you today. The Lord my God cometh and all the saints with thee. Enoch the sever from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, not for them, but with them. He must first come for them before he can come back with them. And to prove that they go to heaven with him, Revelation 19, the first 10 verses, tell us that the marriage supper of the Lamb will be held in heaven. All the redeemed of all ages will be at that marriage supper just before the second coming of Christ to the earth. That proves that if they come out of heaven at the second advent, that they do not stay in the air all the time from the rapture until the second advent, but that they go to heaven with him and live there until he comes back with them. So it is not until after the days of the church on earth, until after the rapture of the church, that Christ will come to set up his kingdom. In the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, this is very clearly stated. Verses 13 to 18. Simeon hath declared how God did at first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree all the words of the prophets, as it is written, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and will set it up, that the residue of the people might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Now the church is raptured before the coming of the Antichrist. And the church is raptured before the 70th week of Daniel. For the Antichrist is here during that whole 70th week. And 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8 plainly tells us that he who hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. So if the hinder of lawlessness is taken out of the way before the Antichrist is revealed, and if the Antichrist is here for 7 years according to Daniel 9:27, for he does make a 7 years covenant with the Jews after he comes, then it proves the church is raptured before the 70th week and before the tribulation period and before the coming of the Antichrist. So we might say the time the kingdom will be set up is after the reign of the Antichrist. And we might say further, after the great tribulation, as we've already quoted in Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. All right, it's going to be also after the apostasy of the great tribulation, during which time the Antichrist will be here, killing all men in his kingdom that do not have his mark or his name or the number of his name. Then, too, at the time the Antichrist is destroyed and Satan bound, that's when the kingdom will be set up. Revelation 19:20 tells us that the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. That is, at the second advent, Christ will take the beast and cast him into the lake of fire. Then in Revelation 20, the first three verses, it pictures at the same time that Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Thus it is very clear that both Satan and the Antichrist will be defeated at the same time. The Antichrist will be put into the lake of fire for 1,000 years, or in fact forever, and Satan will be put into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years before he is liberated for a short season. So during the church age and the future tribulation period, Satan is loose, proving that the kingdom will not be set up until both after the church age and after the future tribulation period. After the first resurrection, the kingdom will be set up for all the saints. Even those who were killed during the tribulation period will be resurrected and will reign with Christ 1,000 years. Read Revelation 20, verses 1 to 4. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign 1,000 years. The kingdom will be set up at the time Ezekiel's temple is built. In Ezekiel 40, through the 48 chapters, we read of a rebuilding of a temple to the Lord by the Jews in Jerusalem. Then after giving us the dimensions of the temple and picturing other things about the temple, the angel said to Ezekiel, this is in 43:7 of Ezekiel, Son of man, the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom in high places. Thus after Ezekiel's millennial temple is built, or rather at that time, the kingdom of Christ will be established, and Christ will reign in that Ezekiel temple and rule the house of Israel forever. And further, Bible teaches that Christ will build this temple when he comes. It won't take long for him to do a job of that type. You read Zechariah 6, 12, and 13, and you will find that Christ will build the temple of the Lord and will sit a king upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between Israel and the Messiah. The kingdom will be set up after Israel is gathered back from all countries. Read Ezekiel 20, Ezekiel 36, and 37, those three chapters. Ezekiel 36 and 37 picture the regathering of Israel from among the nations. In fact, Israel is pictured under the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37. Then it pictures Israel being gathered to make one nation upon the mountains of Israel, and then will be converted by their Messiah at his second advent. The Jews are to be delivered from the armies of the Gentiles by Jesus Christ at his second advent and will become a blessing to all the families of the earth. Then will be fulfilled the many promises and covenants God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and many other Israelites. In the days of the fulfillment, or rather after the fulfillment of Revelation 4 to 19, you find Christ coming, and that's in Revelation 19 and 20. That's when he will actually set up his kingdom on the earth. According to these facts now, the kingdom will be set up at the return of Christ immediately after the tribulation, immediately at the destruction of Antichrist, and at the binding of Satan, and at the time that Christ appears in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So according to these facts, the kingdom is yet future and will follow all these events. Christ himself taught in certain passages that the kingdom would follow his second advent. Read Matthew 16, 21 to 27 and 19, 28, where we read, "Ye that have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, ye also shall sit on 12 thrones," talking to the 12 apostles, "reigning over the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." In Luke, the 20th chapter, we have several statements. The 22nd chapter, well, you might say also the 21st, 20th, 21st, and 22nd chapters, where we read of the signs of the coming of Christ and the visible coming of Christ to deliver the Jews at the end of the times of the Gentiles. And then he mentioned to the apostles again. He said that you may eat at my table in my kingdom and sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Christ referred to it again the very last day on earth, just before he ascended to heaven, in Acts 1, 6-7. The disciples asked him, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." In other words, you fellows be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and under the uttermost parts of the earth, and the kingdom will be established in due time. John 14 speaks of the coming of Christ to receive the saints to himself. And in Revelation 5, 9 and 10, Revelation 11, 15 and 21 to 7, Christ told John on the Isle of Patmos that all the saints would become kings and priests and would take over the governments of this world and will reign forever and ever and ever. The apostles taught that the kingdom was to be future, following the second coming of Christ. 1 Peter 1, 7 states it that way. 2 Peter 1, 16. James 5, 7 speaks of Christ as waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Jude 14. Jude, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, told us that Christ would come with all the saints and to execute vengeance upon the ungodly, convince all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Thus, you see, the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament prophets, Jesus Christ, and many others picture the establishment of the kingdom of Christ and of God, the literal visible kingdom at the return of Christ. Now then, the next question is, will it be a literal earthly kingdom? Yes, it will be. The kingdom will be as earthly and literal as anyone that has ever been on earth. It will be the ninth of the following kingdoms mentioned in Daniel and Revelation, and they are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media-Persia, Greece, Rome, Revised Rome, Revived Grecia, and ninth is the kingdom of heaven. For in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. If these kings ruled or will rule literal kingdoms, then the kingdom of heaven will also be just as literal. For there would be no need of a spiritual kingdom, or no sense to such passages if it refers to a spiritual kingdom. For it's referring definitely to the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, as plainly stated in Revelation 11:15, and Daniel 7:13-14, that all peoples, all nations, all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Yes, it's going to be a literal, visible, earthly kingdom at the return of Jesus Christ in glory.
Friends, if you want information about the Bible containing Reverend Dake's notes and comments, you may have it by writing the Dake Bible Sales, Station A, Atlanta 10, Georgia. All you need to do is to print your name and address very plainly, then say, "Send me free circular about the Dake Bible." Send such a note to us and we'll do the rest. We'll send you full information about the world's most unusual Bible, the Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. This very remarkable volume contains 4 equal-sized columns on each page, 2 inside columns of the King James Version text, and 2 outside columns of Mr. Dake's notes and comments. There are over 35,000 such notes and comments, 9,000 headings dividing the text, over 8,000 outlines for ministers and other speakers, 500,000 cross-references on every known Bible subject, and thousands of lists of facts. Even the questions of the Bible are numbered and listed. The prophecies are numbered and listed, as well as the prayers of the Bible, and so many other things. The purpose of this work is to give in one volume the helps that a student of the Bible needs from many other books, from Bible commentaries, Atlas, Dictionary, both the Ordinary Dictionary and a Bible Dictionary. What a person needs from books on Bible manners and customs, typology, hermeneutics, chronology, doctrine, prophetic studies, and others. Ever so many people are enjoying the Dake's Annotated Reference Bible, and you can do the same. Some even write back and say, "I like it so well that if I couldn't get another one, I wouldn't take $1,000 for the copy I have." Why don't you write today for the price and other information about this unusual and remarkable Bible? It won't cost you a thing to do it, but a postage stamp. The circular is free, so ask for it by writing the Dake Bible Sales, Station A, Atlanta 10, Georgia.